Well, I guess it'd be about time to get this warmed up and going. Now, how be this get to working again?
Press the button.
Which button?
Not that one.
Not this one. That one.
No. Your other left.
This other one? Which one are you talking about?
I meant the right. No, that big red one.
The other red button.
Not the big, happy, shiny one.
You mean the one I just pushed?
Yeah, for crying out loud. You don't know what you're doing.
I know perfectly well what I'm doing.
Snap that button off. For crying out loud. You just sit here on your patootie. You play with your buttons. I go make coffee.
You do that, but don't slam the door. Tis been a week. A week and a half, and then some. The whirlwind that were this last week has been most amazingly confuzzlement. It has been overwhelming all but almost entirely. So tonight's show may be a wee bit on the short side in comparison to our normal seas. Or do we do it in a two-part special? We might just do that. We'll put it out there where the two of you in two parts. Maybe on the Pottercast as a full. Well, we'll have to think about that one. It gets mighty confuzzling. I think we might do it in two parts. And that's just the way it be. For this last week, we dealt with... Well, we have birthdays and proms and the loss of crew member and... cars that go boom in the middle of the night. Don't be asking about that last one. But we have all kinds of things going on. You'd think they didn't want us to laugh, but that's what we must do. We must fight back. Fight back with everything we've got. Every last little bit of fiber we have deep down in our very... Not so... In our bosoms, in our underwear, down into our dirty old holy socks. Aye, that's right. As your toes poke out the far end, you must fight back with every fiber you got, every stick of dirt and bit of laughter you have. And that's what we fight back with. Laughter. If we fight back with laughter, they either think we're crazy and they leave us alone, or maybe they just fight back and start laughing along with us, and we teach them how to laugh again. That's be what our motto is. If we learn to laugh again, and sometimes the best way to learn is to do. So ye learn, and the ones around ye learn. So if we don't be learning them how to laugh, who gonna be learning them? And then they be unlearned, and that's no good. Ignorance is not a good thing. Well, sometimes ignorance truly is bliss. And there be many a time I wish I be ignorant, but I'd not be wanting to sail upon that ship. No. When they say to put up the mast, and, you know, to put the rigging up the mast, and they drop the anchor, and the whole night... I was on a ship like that once. It were but a confuzzlement beyond confuzzlements, and just too torture all the way through. It were not good. It were not good at all. But I say... Welcome back, me mateys. Welcome back. It's time to learn them how to be laughing again. And we'll fight back with every source and fiber of our being. So be it. If we do it in two part, or one part. I don't be a knowing, but I know that we need to be a learning to laugh again. I will find it out as we get farther along, whether it be... How does this episode work? But we shall not let them destroy us. We shall stand up and laugh in their faces. We'll probably get slapped. But, hey, what's a little slapping between friends? Now let's start off with DocLogix. It's the real world. Right here on the captain's quarters. Welcome back, me mateys. Welcome back. And I hope you be learning to laugh. Good and hearty, like right from your diaphragm.
Let's do it.
Okay. It's a world of acne.
a world of germs. It's your brand new dog coming down with worms. It's the notes being played by a cockroach parade. It's the real world after all. It's a world of ulcers, a world of cysts. It's the hole in the road that you never miss. It's the cheap underwear creeping up to your hair. It's the real world after all. 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 It's a world of hunger, a world of sin. It's a million products to keep you thin. It's machinery exhaust causing air to be lost. It's a real world after all. It's a world of stark mediocrity. It's a world of mindless activity. It's the little white lie inside mom's apple pie. It's a real world after all. It's the real world after all. Cold hard steel world after all. Slimy eel world after all. Well, it's the real world after all. It's a world that's black and a world that's blue. And you must duck logic to get you through. It's the sudden attack of a knife in your back. It's the real world after all. It's the real world after all. Spinning real world after all. Cold hard steel world after all. Well, it's the real world after all.
I can't breathe.
I got blisters on my fingers.
I'm the icebox man at our house. I'm icebox man! I answer the call when there's a need at the icebox. Two very important responsibilities. The first one is keeping people from standing with the door to the refrigerator open for more than 45 minutes at a time. God, that gets me mad. You want to close that goddamn door, please? You want to close the door? You're letting out all of the coldness I saved overnight. Come on, close the door. You know, some guy smoked 8 joints and he's gonna inventory my refrigerator. Here's $50. Get down to the Burger King. What do you got? I'll save more than that on electricity alone. Close the goddamn door, will you? Look, if you want to know what's in there, why don't you take a Polaroid picture and go away and look at the picture and then come back and figure out what you want. Years ago, we didn't have Polaroid cameras. We had to make an oil painting of what was in there. Well, I don't let it get me down, because there's a bigger responsibility, and that is getting into that refrigerator and deciding which things need to be thrown away. Most people will not take that responsibility. Most people will just go and get what they want, leave everything else alone, and say, well, someone else wants that. Someone else will eat that. Meanwhile, the thing is getting smaller and smaller and smaller, and is in fact stuck to the rack. Well, I've got to go in there and decide when to throw things away. Chocolate pudding? Does anyone want this last chocolate pudding? I have just one chocolate pudding left. It's only pulled away from the side of the dish about 3 inches all the way around. And there's a huge fault running through the center of the pudding. Actually, it's nothing but a ball of skin at this point. Does anyone want a ball of fault-ridden chocolate pudding skin? I'm only going to throw it away. Do people do that with you? Offer you some food that if you don't eat it, they're only gonna throw it away. Well, doesn't that make you feel dandy? Here's something to eat, Dave. Hurry up, it's spoiling. Something for you, Angela. Eat quickly, that green pot is moving. Here, Bob, eat this before I give it to an animal. You ever been looking through the refrigerator and you come across an empty plate? Boy, that starts me to wondering. Did something eat something else? Maybe the olives ate the tuna. Maybe that chicken isn't really dead yet. Actually, I picture a little mouse with gloves and a parka on, you know. Just waiting for the lights to go out. Perhaps the worst thing that can happen is to reach into the refrigerator and come out with something that you cannot identify. at all. You literally do not know what it is. Could be meat. Could be cake. Usually at a time like that, I'll bluff. Honey, is this good?
Well, what is it?
I don't know. I've never seen anything like it. It looks like meat cake.
Well, smell it.
It has absolutely no smell whatsoever.
It's good. Put it back. Somebody is saving it. It'll turn up in something.
That's what frightens me. That someone will consider it a challenge and use it just because it's in there. It's a leftover. What a sad word that is. Leftover. How would you like to be a leftover? Well, it wouldn't be bad if they were taking people out to be shot. I might even volunteer. But you know, leftovers make you feel good twice. Did you ever think about that? Leftovers give you two separate good feelings. When you first put them away, you feel really intelligent. I'm saving food. And then, after a month, when hair is growing out of them, and you throw them away, you feel really intelligent. I'm saving my life. When you make a sandwich at home, do you reach down past the first three or four pieces of bread to go down and get the good bread? It's kind of a self-preservation thing, you know? What you're really saying is, let my family eat the rotten bread. I'll take care of numero uno. And down you go into the loaf, down looking for the two that you want. A matching pair. And you have to be careful pulling them out so they don't tear. And then when you get them to the top, the upper eight slices fall the other way. I never straighten them out. I think, screw it, let them think a burglar made a sandwich. Not my job, straightening out the bread. Gotta tell me, in the refrigerator, who is it, please, that puts into the refrigerator the half-gallon containers of milk with only that much left in them? I get one of those every time. Hey, here's some milk. God, not enough to drink. Better put that back, huh? I know my responsibility.
There be Icebox Man, George Carlin himself. I always be wondering when I look into the icebox what it is that I be a-seeing. Sometimes he be moving, sometimes he be not. But who is it that puts some of that stuff back? I do have to be a-wondering. But we digress at this point. Now, a way to fight back into the sickness and disgusting of the world is laughter. And well expressed in this point, be Bo Burnham's sad.
This first song is called A World on Fire. This next song is a little bit longer than that one. And thank you. It's about how sad I am, and I'm really sad, and it's called Sad. About all the sad stuff. Just picture a depressed onion cutting itself. I met a homeless man named Rich. Isn't that terrible? I saw a flyer for a lost dog, and the dog didn't have any legs. I saw a diabetic kid trick-or-treating. I saw a giraffe who had a short neck. That was sad. Or a deer. I saw an old man get hit by a train. He didn't see it in the pouring rain. He didn't hear me shout, look out for the train. Because I didn't say anything. I just thought to myself, ooh, this is gonna be sad. And it was. I'm a genius. I saw a man with only one eye in a 3D movie. I saw a little boy drop his ice cream cone directly on his mother's corpse. I saw a kid stuck in a tree, then the kitten jumped off and he hung itself. I saw a boy who had red hair. I went to a store looking for something to buy, but they only sold paintings of the same sad guy. No, wait, this store sells mirrors. See what I did there?
Let's rock!
No. The world's so sad, bros. Pain. Genocide, war, sexism, racism. But I gotta remember there's good things about it too. Like the fact that none of that's happening to me. Score! Still though, it's hard not to be sad about it. How do y'all do it? I've been telling you guys terribly sad things this whole song. You haven't been sad at all. You've been happy, no. You've been laughing. That's it, laughter, it's the key to everything. It's the way to solve all the sadness in the world. I mean, not for the people that are actually sad, but the people like us that gotta deal with them all the time. Being a comedian isn't being an insensitive prick capitalizing on the most animalistic impulses of the public. It's being a hero. The world isn't sad. The world's funny. I'm a sociopath. I saw an old man slip and fall. Hey, what a f***ing idiot. I saw a woman at her daughter's funeral. Ha ha ha, classic comedy. Everything that once was sad is somehow funny now. The Holocaust and 9/11. That is funny 24/7. Cause tragedy will be exclusively joked about. Because my empathy is bumming me out. Goodbye, sadness. Hello, jokes. Thank you.
Ooh, leprosy. What a sorry mess I am. Even friends can't stand to look at me. Oh, I despise my leprosy. Gradually, I'm not half the man I used to be. Pieces keep on falling off of me. It happens now so gradually. When my tongue fell off, I don't know, I couldn't say. I said,
"Womp, womp, womp."
Now I long for that sweet day when I had no leprosy. Making love with me could never be. Yes, I've lost my chance for ecstasy. Oh, I despise my leprosy.
That's our lovely tune was by Euphorla with leprosy. Dark humor can get us through many unlightning time. And dark humor, it's not for everyone. As Stalin once said, dark humor is like food. Not everyone gets it. We'll be cutting a commercial. Be back momentarily with more of the captain's quarters. And I'm sure a laugh or five along the way. Oh, don't be forgetting. You're going to be calling in 323 Heave-Ho. 323 Heave-Ho. Since we're going to do it in a two-part special, I think what we can be doing is we can hold it over till... Aye, you still have a chance to get them our calls in. Aye, that's the best way to do it. So, 323 Heave-Ho. That's 323-432-8346. And don't be forgetting that the first commercial be a vintage commercial. But the second one, that be the true sponsor. Spend no money, spend your monies at the one. But don't be spending your money at the others. Well, that'd just be silly. You'd have to use a time machine. And that makes you sick in the head and the tummy, too. I know from personal experience. 323 Heave-Ho. 323 Heave-Ho. 323 Heave-Ho.
Look, here is the new Band-Aid plastic strip with new Super Stick. It sticks better than any other bandage. The proof? Take a dry egg at room temperature. Touch the egg with any other bandage. Brand X, brand Y, brand Z. Not one sticks. But a Band-Aid plastic strip with new Super Stick sticks tight instantly. Watch it again in slow motion. No pressure, yet we can lift the egg, even boil it. And the Band-Aid plastic strip never comes loose.
Maybe you don't want to broil eggs this way, but you do want the extra protection of Band-Aid plastic strips. They take better care of little cuts and scratches. They stay put.
Yes, even in hot, soapy dishwater. Neat, flesh-colored, almost invisible. Band-Aid plastic strips with new Super Stick stick better than any other bandage. Made only by Johnson & Johnson, the most trusted name in surgical dressings. Be sure you get Band-Aid plastic strips.
Look, sidekick! A shop just for heroes!
No, it's a comic book shop and it's for everyone.
Not possible! See? It's even right in the name! Heroes! So that means you'll need to stay out here whilst I go shopping!
It's Heroes, your mom threw out comic shop, and it's for everyone, including sidekicks.
Hey guys! You know, the little guy is right. It's all about the love of comics, and not whether you can fly or not. But, by the way, I do love the cape.
Gee, thanks.
So Heroes Comic Shop is located at 130 West 14th Street in Elmira Heights, New York. We're open Wednesday through Saturday. You can check us out at momthrout.com.
Oh, look! They have Archie Comics!
Heroes Comics, for every kind of hero.
Aye. Be it pondering upon what happened... be complaining about earlier this week. They were complaining about their car going boom. And I say, I had nothing to do with that. I had an alibi. It's a solid alibi. It truly be. Don't trust me on this one. I had an alibi. And they say, their vehicle went boom. And I say, there's the problems. It's all these kids today going around with cars. When we went around with nothing but ships, things were better. They didn't go boom, but they went boom some. Not as boom as often. And that's just plain how it be. Ships were safer, better, yet they didn't usually overheat. And it was better all the way around. And all the frustrations involved with cars, having one, keeping up with it. Worse than horses, it be. And the place they take ye. Leave you fuming and burning up inside. And disturbed through and through. And here be an example. An example of where a car can take ye that a ship will never take you to. And never be leaving you so frustrated with. Stevens and Gridnick's fast food.
A double cheeseburger, onion rings, and a large orange drink, please. Did you get my order? A double cheeseburger, onion rings, and a large orange drink.
You can do it.
All right.
Dashing through the snow in my rusty Chevrolet. Down the road I go, sliding all the way. I need new piston rings. I need some new snow tires. My car is held together by a piece of chicken wire. Oh, rust and smoke, the heater's broke, the door just blew away. I light a match to see the dash, and then I start to pray. The frame is bent, the muffler went, the radio, it's okay. Oh, what fun it is to drive this rusty Chevrolet. I went to the IGA to get some Christmas cheer. I just passed up my left front tire, and it's getting hard to steer. Speeding down the highway, right past the Nagani cops. I had to drag my swampers to get the car to stop. Oh, rust and smoke, the heater's broke, the door just blew away. I light a match to see the dash, and then I start to pray. The frame is bent, the muffler went, the radio, it's okay. Oh, what fun it is to drive this rusty Chevrolet. Through the snowdrifts in a big blue cloud of smoke. People laugh as I drive by, I wonder what's the joke. I got to get to Shopko to pick up the layaway, 'cause Santa Claus is coming soon in his big old rusty sleigh. Oh, rust and smoke, the heater's broke, the door just blew away. I light a match to see the dash, and then I start to pray. The frame is bent, the muffler went, the radio, it's okay. Oh, what fun it is to drive this rusty Chevrolet. Rust and smoke, the heater's broke, the door just blew away. I light a match to see the dash, and then I start to pray. The frame is bent, the muffler went, the radio, it's okay.
I say to me friend who had the car blow up when I had me alibi, strictly saying I had nothing to do with it and nowhere around can, you can't prove anything otherwise. I say to that person, maybe you're better off getting a ship. Or a boat ship of some kind. Automobiles will just leave ye frustrated to frustration. And Diupers, Rusty Chevrolet, that be a true telling of tale. And if you don't believe that well enough, then you need to be listening to Weird Al Yankovic's Stop Dragging My Car Around. Hi. Weird Al would never steer you wrong. Hi. It's not in his name. His name be Weird, not Steer.
You know, we've got to drive out to the 8 to the Bar Ranch to see the Andrews sisters. Now, did you borrow Ken Niles' car?
Oh, yeah, I borrowed it just like you told me.
Well, that's swell.
But I had a terrible accident, Abbott.
What do you mean?
I upset it. I gotta turn it over right away or Ken Niles' wife won't like it.
Well, we can do that when we come back from the Andrews sisters' ranch.
No, I gotta turn the car over now or Mrs. Niles is gonna be mad.
I'll explain it to Mrs. Niles. Where is she?
She's under the car.
She's under the car? Is she in a coma?
No, she's wearing her evening gown.
Oh. Well, then let's get Ken Niles to help us lift the car.
Oh, Ken is in a good spot to help us.
Fine. Where is he?
He's under the car, too.
For goodness sakes, how did this accident happen?
I bumped into another car, Abbott. Boy, that driver was mad at me. He said for 2 cents I'd punch in the nose.
And what happened?
He ran up a bill of $8.
You were silly to argue with the driver. Why didn't you call a policeman?
I didn't have to. I hit one.
Hey, you hit a policeman?
I hit a policeman.
You hit a policeman in uniform?
Nope, I hit him in the nose.
Oh, this is liable to spoil our whole trip to the Andrews sisters' ranch. Did the cop recognize you?
Yep.
Could he swear to you?
Yep. and I squared right back at him. I said, oh, you David Copperfield, you tale of two cities, you Oliver Twist.
What did you say that for?
I was giving him the Dickens. This is a fine thing. Now I have to straighten you out with that policeman. Where is he?
He's under the car, too. What are they all doing under the car?
Have you looked for an apartment lately?
No. Well, now we'll have to rent a car.
Well, let's get another car.
We'll have to.
But where can we get one?
You drive.
Me drive?
No, you drive.
I said I drive.
You don't drive it. I drive it.
Drive what?
You drive.
Why should I drive when you want to drive?
I'm going to drive. Look, Costello, I'm renting a you drive, and I drive it.
Oh, then we both drive.
No, we do nothing of the kind. I drive. When I say you drive, I don't mean you drive. I mean that I drive, although it's a you drive.
When you say you drive, you don't mean me drive?
No.
You mean you drive because I don't drive?
Now you've got it.
Now I don't even know what I'm talking about. Now look, Abbott. You go to a place and you're going to rent a car.
Yes.
You are driving the car?
Yes.
Where am I sitting?
You are sitting right next to me.
Is there a steering wheel in front of me?
No.
And you're positive that I am not driving?
I'm positive.
And you are driving the car?
Yes.
All right. What kind of a car are you driving?
You drive.
Somebody better be driving.
No, look. Please. I'm trying to explain this. We go and rent a car.
Right. Now, where are we going to get it?
You drive company.
Now I drive company. I thought we were going alone.
You don't understand. It hurts you drive.
Well, if it hurts, you drive.
That is right.
That's right. This is getting worse.
Don't you see? The head of the company's hurts.
That's too bad. What hurts him?
Nothing hurts him. Look, every company has to have a head.
Naturally.
Now, this company's head hurts.
Oh, why don't we take an aspirin?
Listen. It hurts you drive all over the country.
Well, if it hurts to drive all over the country, why should I drive and get hurt?
You don't get hurt.
I'm not going to get hurt.
You don't get hurt, Costello.
And nobody's going to hurt for me.
That's right. You're not going to get hurt.
I'm a fool to get hurt.
You're not going to get hurt. It's the Hertz company.
Oh, the Hertz company. I still... Look, Abbott. Am I mixed up?
All right. It's very simple.
Look, Abbott. Thank you, boy.
All
Thank
right.
You.
Look,
Abbott.
Now,
I don't want to hurt nobody.
Will you listen to me, please? The man's name is... Look, Flo, please. Now, look, take it easy. The man's name is Hertz. He rents cars. You drive. It's the you drive all over the country.
You drive all over the country?
Yeah.
Not with that OPA, brother.
What are you talking about?
That's why I can't go. OPA.
What do you mean, OPA?
Only a puny A car.
Get out of here.
Herbie, Abbott Costello with Hertz, you try. The problems with vehicles. See, you stick to boats, you don't have any problems. Even Ray Stevens has commented upon this a time or one. And let's go right into what his commentary be about it. Ray Stevens now would hang up and drive.
He had a cheeseburger in one hand, French fries propped up on the seat, nice cold cola in his cup holder, and to make the scene complete, he was searching for a pen and paper to make a note of things to take home. Still, he might have missed that concrete truck, but he was talking on his mobile phone. Hang up and drive, you're driving me crazy. I put down that phone, both hands on your steering wheel. Hang up and drive, you're driving me crazy. Hey, that ain't no phone booth, son, it's your automobile. She had that vanity mirror down in her face, messing with her hair, in her high-rise four-wheel drive, sitting way up in the air. She just put on her makeup, plugged her curling iron into the dash. But when she tried to dial her mobile phone, that's when she heard the crash. Hang up and drive, you're driving me crazy. I put down that phone with both hands on your steering wheel. Hang up and drive,
driving me crazy. Hey, that ain't no phone booth, honey. It's your automobile. Well, you've seen them out there, friends. Scary. Every Tom, Dick, Jane, and Mary driving with a phone stuck in their ear. Laughing, crying, yelling, talking. Those same folks can't chew gum while they're walking. What makes them think they can talk on the phone and steal? Hang up and drive. You're driving me crazy. Hey, put down that phone, put both hands on your steering wheel. Hang up and drive. You're driving me crazy. That ain't no phone booth, it's your automobile.
That's your automobile.
I said that ain't no phone booth, it's your automobile.
Call in 10. Then get my decorator on the line. I want
to see the curtains for my den. A cop is pulling me over now. He'll probably hold a grudge as soon as he gets that phone call from my father-in-law, the judge. Ta-ta.
Sorry, love. The alimony payment will be late this month. I need new Ray-Bans. Phantom of the Opera? Of course I've seen it. Don't be gauche. Domino's Pizza? Can you deliver? I'm on the eastbound 10.
That'd be, yes. Sheeler and Sheeler with Carphonar. And there's a few references that some of the younger ones will not understand. And that's where history is important, to understand laughter. Just because we don't find it acceptable today doesn't mean it ain't real and wasn't real and it wasn't funny then. I mean, that it was funny then, it's still funny now. Ivan Costello at the very end there. Yeah, they had a quick little reference there. Did you catch it? About the card. In other words, the tag. Certain tags meant you could only buy fuel on certain days and in certain amounts. Aye. That made it traveling very, very difficult. Remember, it seems to go similar to back to the old pandemic days. Let's not be thinking about horrible things like that. Let's think about the other things from the past. Like this one vintage commercial I'm going to play momentarily. It's a cigarette commercial. Give it a good listen to. You'll appreciate, I think they call it propaganda in NAR. We never do this, something like this today. Now would we be doing it?
The pages of American history are illumined by the names of doctors who worked unceasingly to overcome disease and to make life happier and more secure for humanity. The makers of Camels are pardonably proud of the standing of this cigarette among doctors. A nationwide survey of doctors' cigarette preferences was recently made. Three leading independent research organizations asked this question of 113,597 doctors, doctors in every field of medicine. What cigarette do you smoke, doctor? The brand named most was Camel. Yes?
According to a recent nationwide survey, more doctors smoke Camels than any other cigarette.
Squatch Den.
She loved me. She loved me not. She loved me. She loves me not. She loves me. All right. She loves me not. Hey, stupid flaw. What do you know about love? What? Hey, man, do you want to know about love? Oh, you're just trying to find the Squatch Den records. Well, that's easy, man. They're right up at the Audit Mall, right next to the inside entrance of JCPenney's. Hey, man. Yeah, they's got all kinds of good stuff. New stuff and old stuff, too. Yeah, I bet you can find stuff you're looking for. Hey, like maybe some barbershop music or some a soundtrack for hair? Oh, so you're looking more for like Lawrence Welk and heavy metal stuff. Hey, man, that's cool. Hey, if anybody gonna have it, it's gonna be the Squatch Den. Hey, man, see you later. Oh, and say hi to Ash for me.
Oh, man. I just got back. I got the snacks, man. Oh, wow, man. Is that like a Sasquatch?
Oh, yeah, man. That it is.
Squatch Den.
I would be a-thinking. My dear friend, after even hearing that last segment, aren't you glad that your car went boom? And I have an alibi to prove where I were at the time of its destruction. I had nothing to do with it whatsoever. That's the whole honest truth on it. But aren't you be so much happier? And think of all the exercise you're gonna get and make you strong and happy. Hi, they say the people that exercise greatly will be had lived longer, happier lives than the rest of us. Poor, flabby, slabby folks. That's what they all say. They're crazy, but there's nothing wrong with being crazy around here. Now, is there? Now, another form of craziness. Let's turn to Chad Thornberry's karma. No, it's not because it says car. It's K-A, not C-A. You'll be understanding momentarily.
Just tell me who was wrong on this. I was coming in off the road the other day, and I stopped and I got a soda at McDonald's. $1.08, okay? Pull up to the window, and the girl said, did you have the soda? Yes, I did. And she said, well, the guy in front of you paid for you. Now, I know how this is supposed to work. I'm supposed to pay for the people behind me. They pay for the people behind them, and somehow that makes us a better world somehow. Except I look in the rearview mirror, and I've got an SUV behind me with about 8 kids. And I'm not paying $85 for a soda. But she's in the window, and she can literally look down on me. She goes, well, the guy in front of you paid for you. I'm like, well, if I see him, I'll say thanks and left. And so I'm telling my wife about this. She said, well, you're supposed to pay for the people behind you. I know that. I'm not going to do that. She said, we can afford it. That's not the point. She said, well, don't you believe in karma? Yeah, I believe in karma. I just got a free soda. That's karma telling me I'm not that bad of a guy. That's what that is.
My friend, he fixed me up with a girl he said he knew. He guaranteed we'd get along just fine. And when I went to pick her up, I found out what he meant. He knew that strange and weary things were a hobby of mine. And I wouldn't take her to a dog fight or any other place I've ever been. No, I wouldn't take her to a dog fight, not even if she had a chance to win. Curiosity, they say, kill the cat. And I've been the curious sort all of my life. I hung around convinced she didn't really look that bad. She got me drunk, and when I woke up, I had a wife. And I wouldn't take her to a dog fight or any other place I've ever been. No, I wouldn't take her to a dog fight, not even if she had a chance to win. And now the years have passed, and our daughter's in her teens. Her boyfriend comes and hangs around the place. He never takes her anywhere. I don't dare ask him why, 'cause she's the spitting image of her mama in the face. And I wouldn't take her to a dog fight or any other place I've ever been. No, I wouldn't take her to a dog fight, not even if she had a chance to win. I wouldn't take her to a dog fight or any other place I've ever been. No, I wouldn't take her to a dog fight, not even if she had a chance to win. Not even if she had a chance to win.
I would just like to say a few words about nudity in the world today. And I, for one, am just appalled by it. What, did you know that underneath their clothing, the entire population of the world is walking around completely naked? Is that disgusting? And it's not just people, although goodness knows that's bad enough. But animals too. Even cute little doggies and pussycats can't be trusted. Underneath their fur, absolutely naked. And it's not just the quadrupeds either. Birds too, yes. Beneath those fine feathers, birds wear nothing, nothing at all. Abs.
How do you feel about nudity?
Well, personally, it always left me cold.
Ah, oh, that be a sin. That there be Sam the Eagle from the Muppets with Discourse on Nudity. And before that, we had Charlie Walker's I Wouldn't Take Her to a Dog Fight. Even if she does have a chance to win. A true love ballad, if ever there were one. Now, we have Tom Paxton. Will the Turtle Be Unbroken? This will be one I've been meaning to play for a few weeks now. And been a while since we played it. Enjoy.
I have bought a small apartment in a lonely part of town. There are 27 stories. It's a long way from the ground. There I live with my friend Myrtle, my companion, my best friend. She ain't human, she's a turtle, and I love her to the end. She was standing at my window on a cold and cloudy day, till some wild and willful wind blew my poor Myrtle clean away. The turtle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by. Lord, help Myrtle as she hurtles through the sky, Lord, through the sky. I ran downstairs, I was crying. I must find her, I must know. My poor Myrtle would be lying several hundred feet below. Was she sundered into sections as her shell fell to the ground? Would I find 200 plectrums, my friend Myrtle, all around? Will the turtle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by? Lord, help Myrtle as she hurtles through the sky, Lord, through the sky. Caretaker, poor caretaker, why do you lie here stone cold dead? Poor man went to meet his maker, something landed on his head. And the turtle was unbroken, by and by, Lord, by and by. For you guided my friend Myrtle through the sky, Lord, through the sky. Undertaker, undertaker, lay that poor man in his grave. Good Lord took the old caretaker, but my best friend, she was saved. Yes, the turtle was unbroken, by and by, Lord, by and by. For you guided my friend Myrtle Lord, through the sky. Through the sky, Lord, through the sky.
Different kinds of religious groups get wonderful reputations, and some of it is stereotyped. Baptists are supposed to be hellfire and brimstone, all that kind of stuff. And the Methodists are supposed to be kind of laid back and cool, and the Catholics are supposed to swing a lot of incense. We have just, typical stereotypes of each other. Our Quaker friends are called the Friends, and they worship in silence. Now, Baptists know nothing about that. There has not been an acknowledged silence in a Baptist church since the first century. The minute it gets quiet, somebody leap back on the organ bench and start playing until somebody finds their bulletin. We just don't trust silence. Well, our Quaker friends worship in silence, and they have a very different kind of touch. And one of their characteristics that we know about is they're pacifists. They do not believe in violence, and they believe that the way you take the stinger out of war is not to retaliate. There was a wonderful Quaker family that had a grocery store in a little community, and two guys decided one night they're going to rob it. And so we got the brains of the group driving the getaway car, and he sends his helper, sort of a Woody Woodpecker variety, into the store to rob the safe. Now, the Quaker family lived in the back of the store. And so the guy that's driving the car says to his dumb accomplice, "Now, all you got to do is go in, break open the safe, and just get the money and come out." And he says, "But what if they find me?" He said, "You got nothing to worry about. These people are Quakers. They don't believe in violence. They're pacifists. They will not harm you. They'll try to talk you out of it, but they will not lay a hand on you." "Sure, I'm certain. They're Quakers." "Okay." So the guy goes in, breaks the lock, gets inside, he's back in the clank working on the safe. About 4 minutes later, he comes barreling out that front door, leaps in the car, "Get out of here!" He said, "Where's the money? Go!" And then they roared down the street, "Man, what are you doing? Get out of here! Where is the money?" "I didn't get the money." "Why not?" He said, "I got the safe open, and I was raking money in a sack, and I looked up, and there was this fella with a goatee and a nightshirt and a shotgun. And he pointed it right at me. And he said, 'Sir, I wouldst not harm thee, but thou standest where I am about to shoot.'"
"That thar be Reverend Grady Nutt with the Quiet Quakers. Now, let us go with another piece of dark humor. Aye, we must, as we started out with laughter, that's getting close to the end of the hour, but we'll be back for a part two in another day or so. So fear not, but this here be the Bobs with Spontaneous Human Combustion. There's very little we can't laugh about. Yeah, that's mostly... I think we can laugh at anything. Wasn't that what the song Sad was about?
Spontaneous human combustion. Poof. There goes another one. A raging fire, a funeral pyre.
An unexpected
cremation.
In a crowded mall when they burst right into flame.
Flame!
Charcoal briquettes in 30 seconds. Their last words, each other's name. Did they have a deep-seated problem? Was it their farewell? Did they cause themselves to ignite,
leaving that awful smell? Spontaneous human combustion. There goes another one. Raging fire, a funeral pyre,
an unexpected
cremation.
She was shopping on Rodeo Drive when she went up with a flash.
Flash!
The police had no explanation. Their only clue, a pile of ash. Was her Visa card at the limit on that shopping spree? Did she blow her top when she read,
"Buy
buy one, get one free. Spontaneous human combustion. There goes another one. A raging fire, a funeral pyre,
an unexpected
cremation.
Is it a passion? Is it heartburn? Is it the wrath of God?
God!
Maybe it's friction in your bloodstream. Starts a fire in your bod. Is it caused by stress or frustration? Or by what you eat? Never snack on cabbage and wasabi.
You get smoking feet. Spontaneous human combustion. There goes another one. A raging fire, a funeral fire.
Cremation.
There once was a cat with a hungry belly. The name of the cat was Whiskers Jelly. His throat was dry and his bowl was bare. Meow, me furry cats meow. Soon may the kitty man come with birds and mice and some tasty numbs. One day when the critters come, we'll eat till our bellies are full. Well, Jelly got his boys and they gathered round. They scattered seeds from a sack they found in hopes the seeds they spread on the ground would bring small critters a boot. Soon may the kitty man come with birds and mice and some tasty numbs. One day when the critters come, we'll eat till our bellies are full. While the gang was bored and morale had dipped, till one of the seeds grew green catnip. They sniffed and they snacked and they all got ripped. They all had a meow that night. Soon may the kitty man come with birds and mice and some tasty numbs. One day when the critters come, we'll eat till our bellies are full. While their heads were hung and the morn was nigh, the nip was strong and they all got high. Their bellies were shrunk and their bowls still dry. Oh, bring us some ice today. Soon may the kitty man come with birds and mice and some tasty numbs. One day when the critters come, we'll eat till our bellies are full.
Ah, a true sea chanty, if ever to be one. Trailer park boys there with the kitty man. We'll be back momentarily. Well, actually, it won't be momentarily. It'll be a little bit longer than momentarily until we weld the two pieces together. And then through the magic of podcasters, or podcast, ooh, I like that. Through the magic of podcasting. We'll weld it together and make it a 1-2-part episode so everything makes sense. Not really. But we will weld it together, but it just still won't make sense. Not a bit of sense at all. But here we'll be back momentarily. And to my heart, our dear friend that lost a vehicle, it blew up, and I made sure that I had an alibi. I mean, I have an alibi. I truly do. It's been certified and everything. Just consider how lucky you are not to be burdened with that problems no more. Not at all. You just too much headache and hassle with all that. Just consider yourself truly, truly lucky.
It's 106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes, it's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.